Knock Knock, written by Flower Parrish and read by K-Burb. This is a DC Marvel crossover fic, rated mature, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. It has an ambiguous/open ending with an alternating POV, and features the relationship between Bucky/Clint/Jason. Chapter 1. Clint. Clint's mother died in spirit long before he was born. Even as a child, he could tell. What he didn't know until much later was why. A few years later, when Clint's mom died for real, he'd cried. He wouldn't miss their dad, but their mom had been good and kind, even if she was only ever halfway real, so Clint hadn't understood why Barney never shed a single tear. It wasn't until the circus that Clint started to get a hint. They traveled all over the country, and the first time Clint saw the sea, he felt some kind of yearning awaken within him. But Barney made him promise not to go down to the water, and they were busy anyway, so Clint did his best to ignore the call. Years passed. The call got harder to ignore. Life got more dangerous, or maybe they just got old enough to understand how dangerous it had always been. One night, Barney shoved a bundle into Clint's arms and told him to run away. Don't ever look back, and don't you dare come looking for me neither, you hear? Clint ran. He looked back only once, but the abject terror in Barney's gaze kept him moving forward, onward, away. Clint was not quite an adult yet when he first approached the ocean's edge. He didn't touch the water, just stood a few inches from the edge of the tide and breathed in the salty air. Gulls called all around him, waves crashed against the shore, the world felt quiet and vast all at once, as if the universe itself was holding its breath, waiting to see what would happen next. Everything Clint knew about himself would change the instant he answered the ocean's call. He sensed this keenly. And the water was right there. It would be so easy to take a step forward and... he wasn't ready. He turned away. Clint was barely an adult the first time he shifted. His leather jacket, the one Barney had given him, that was somehow always just the right size no matter how he grew, molded to Clint's form, shifting with him, growing and changing as it began to envelop him in thick sealskin. The ocean was cool and dark, peaceful. Not safe, but maybe the closest thing to it Clint had ever known. For the first time in his life, Clint felt whole. Chapter 2. Bucky. Everyone thinks they know the truth about how Bucky Barnes survived his fall from the train. Hydra pumped him full of bullshit chemicals, the cold kept him alive, and the enemy recovered him. They're not entirely wrong, but they're not entirely right, either. Bucky Barnes died. The man who lives now, a remnant of the man who once was, had changed before Hydra had ever gotten their hands on him again. The cold mummified him, but the chemicals in his veins combined with the natural magic of the area where he fell combined to make him something more regardless. It reanimated him, strengthened him, but by the time his brain began to come back online, he was trapped. He learned to obey his handlers. The memories of his past life weren't erased so much as coaxed into a deep sleep within him, already one step removed by his undead state. The blonde man makes him remember. Not just who he was, but what it means to be alive. He saves the man. He runs. He is not alive, not anymore, so he must not be the man everyone remembers either. He is something else. Who can say if he is more or less now, but he is certainly different. He feels the urge to roam now that he is no longer bound by chains, both metaphorical and literal. He follows the pull and wanders. He doesn't know if he will age, if he can die, if the need to keep moving will ever fade away. It doesn't matter. Chapter 3. Jason. Gotham was an entity. Even she does not remember when she first became aware of her own existence, but it was many thousands of years before any humans began to settle on her territory. She has always liked humanity. They're smelly and destructive and loud, but they are capable of great beauty and kindness and creation as well. She tries to give them little offerings to keep them in her purview, cleans their water, steadies the ground beneath their dwellings, gives luck and blessings to her favorites when she's got enough power to spare. The bat is one of her favorites. She gives him speed, agility, constitution to keep him going in his fight against dark forces. Gotham herself is not a being of good or evil. She simply is. But to keep the bat moving through her city, she's happy to choose a side. He gains little followers in his quest. So small and bright. Loud, yes, but kind and beautiful. They glitter like stars, and she mourns when the first leaves her purview, but the second? The second of the little birds has been hers from the start. She knows him to his marrow, and it is no accident that he can only be killed when he's lured away from the territory she governs. But the bat brings him back, returns him to her earth. It takes her many cycles of the moon, half a cycle of the sun, as she stores up all of her spare power for this purpose. When she has enough, she uses it to bring him back. He isn't the same. He won't ever be, when he isn't animated by his own spirit, but rather by Gotham's ability to shape the world around her. But he lives once more, rises from her earth as she falls into a deep hibernation, resting to recover the energy she has spent in this task. Her little ghoul stumbles from his grave, and Gotham sleeps deep, content. Chapter 4. Convergence. Three supernatural creatures walk into a bar. And Gotham? She laughs. Delighted. The end.
I knew that look, dear eyes, always seeking. Was there in someone that dug long ago? So I will not ask you why you were creeping. In some sad way, I already know. So I will not ask you. I would not ask.